Hey guys, what is up? We are here talking all about This Is Us Brothers episode, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's a happy song.
We're pregnant! I mean, I'm not pregnant. Kate's pregnant.
Are you sure you're not pregnant?
I'm pretty sure.
No. Guys, they had me all laughing before this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We are talking all about This Is Us episode. Are we on 5 and 6 now? 5 or 6?
Five.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
I was like switching it up. And it's all about brothers tonight, guys. Yeah. So my name is Candace Cruz. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Hey, you guys, Keith Andre here. You can find me everywhere at Keith_Andre. And I was ready to shed a few tears tonight.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, this time.
Well,
yeah.
I definitely shed a few tears. I saw Candace looking over at me when I was getting teary-eyed. I was like, Candace, stop looking at me.
I'm sorry. I loved it, though.
I know.
I loved the tears.
That's so sad. You like to see me cry.
No, I love seeing people get like emotional and happy.
It's important to see your friends cry.
I feel like I'm empathetic with that too.
So I definitely got emotional today, I'm not going to lie. But if you want to follow me on social media, it's at Lena Nori, and you can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori. I won't cry online though.
And I actually didn't cry this episode, if you can believe that, from last week. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
You were so beautiful crying last week, though. You really were just...
Yes.
It was so good last week.
So none of you guys got emotional except for me? What
this week?
The hell?
No, I just got a little emotional.
Yeah, it was emotional.
I was trying to block it off for me. Some of it resonated a little too much, so I was just like, I'm going
to
like...
You were trying to Kevin it.
Yeah, I don't want
to
go there.
I tried to Kevin it today.
Yeah.
I did.
Yes. Well, we're glad to have Lena back.
Yes. Welcome back.
Looking good.
She's feeling good. Looking good. Feeling better.
Finally.
Yay.
I'm excited to be back. I'm just sad that I'm the only one. You know what it was? I was trying to make up for not being here last week, so I cried.
That's what it was.
Okay. I cried extra for everybody.
That's exactly what it was.
We should have had our tissues. We still don't have our Kleenex.
We gotta do better.
Yeah,
we do.
We say that every Tuesday.
Is that true?
It's a hashtag.
Yeah. I swear. How do you not cry watching the show?
I know.
Well, how do you not cry?
This week I Kevin'd it.
No, I was there, and then I was like, no.
I was like, no, I can't do this.
You're like, not today. I'm going to save that.
Right.
No, I was like, ugh. There was so much going on in this episode, and I really, really liked this episode. You were even saying halfway through, you're like, how is it 30 minutes already?
Mm-hmm. Always.
I want to know everybody at home. Am I the only person that it's like halfway into the episode, and I feel like 5 minutes went by? I'm like, give me more. I need for sure 90 minutes at least.
But it depends. If you're watching it and you have to sit through commercials, you may be over it. But with the luxury of DVR now, get me to it and get me to next week's episode too.
The second half of the episode, maybe because it was more meaty, it seemed to be like stretched out, not slower in a bad way, but like more stretched out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
And they always hit us with the good stuff, like in the last 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Oh, my gosh. And that's why I was holding back my tears, too, because I was like, do you cry now or are you going to cry later? Like, I just felt...
Do you have a reserve for your tears?
I just felt like a little bit of a roller coaster over the course of the night.
He's got a lot of control over his emotions.
I'm going to only allow 20 tears up tonight.
I was just trying to see where this story was going to go. Like, we were talking, like, my dad's birthday was yesterday, and I have the twins. So we saw a lot of that brother. And as a man, I just was like, okay, where are they trying to take us? Mm-hmm. And then in the last minute, they hit us with...
He's like, where is he?
And I was just like, okay.
Hold on. Keith is like Facebook. You know how you can schedule like when to do a post? He schedules his tears. Next Tuesday, 9 p.m.
I wish I had that much control, but I'm a Gemini, so I don't have that much control over my emotions. Anyway,
speaking of brothers, we had a camping trip, guys.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was so cute.
So much to see the boys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because as much as I love Rebecca and I love Kate, sometimes you just gotta see the brothers. You gotta let brothers be brothers.
Yep, yeah, it's important.
And you gotta let the dad have the boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take them go on the camping more specifically. Yeah,
trip.
And I really love that his intent, as far as, you know, with men as a man and as a brother, it's not necessarily something that's innate. You have to learn how to be brotherly. And Jack taught Kevin a lot about, you know what, this is your brother. Mm-hmm. And you need to respect that, and you need to kind of cultivate this space. So I'm glad we got to see baby Kevin be more mature than grown Kevin.
Yeah, Keith, now that you mention it, I didn't even think about it having to be a thing where you have to work toward brotherhood. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just like y'all grew up together.
We bros.
Yeah, like somebody you grow up with down the street that you've been with for the last 10 years of your life, you're like this. Yeah. I didn't think that familial, you had to work on that relationship. So that's interesting.
I feel like sisterhood's like that too, no? Mm-hmm. I feel like you do have to work towards it.
I think so too. And one of the things that Jack said is something that I resonated with a lot. Maybe that's why I did turn off the Kevin, and I was like, I'm gonna not. My dad always says this too, is like, I'm gonna misquote him just a little bit, but it was, you have to love your brother because that's the most important person you have in this world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And my dad always stresses 100% that this is like your sister, mm-hmm, and your family, this is all you got.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
a lot of people don't realize, but our siblings are the people that we live in this world the most with, longer than most
outside
times
of our parents.
But longer, most, in a perfect world, your parents are going to outlive you and your siblings. Yeah. So your siblings are the people that you really are going to live on the world the most amount of time with. So,
and on top of it, even if you find your partner, whoever that may be, mm-hmm, like, they're still not blood at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, and it goes back to the nature versus nurture conversation that we've always had. But brothers, like, they have to be raised to be, you know, or even sisters. I have two older stepbrothers, but they're so much older than me. My little sister and I are like, you know.
Tight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually having this conversation twice with two different people, one today and one yesterday. And what I was saying was, it's interesting, we go through life, you know, we're not going to say how old each one of us are, but, you know, we've lived a good amount of life. Mm-hmm. We've had relationships that haven't worked out. And in these relationships, you talk to this person every day, all day, text message, phone calls, mm-hmm, and then just, you know, one day, they're just a stranger. They're they're like the same person that's walking down the street, you know? And I've never been able to, like, as a person, grasp that whole concept, because it's weird. You invest so much of your life. You think of a future, and then you picture them with your family and Thanksgiving, and then we invest so much time, we spend less time with our family to spend time with a significant other. And then there's friends. And as you get older, they move on. They get married. They have kids. Mm-hmm. Their lives become conjoined with their husband's life, or if your friend's a male, then they become conjoined with their wives' lives. And so think about how many holidays and days that we've spent, birthdays we've spent with our friends and these significant others, that it's just like this. Some of them are like gone.
Yeah.
But you know, family is always there for you. And it's kind of like, I feel like as I've gotten older, you realize that you do take family for granted, that no matter what, they're just always going to be there for you.
For
or maybe your
part.
Friends and your significant other. Well, yeah, for the most part, of course, there's different situations where some siblings don't get along, but it's crazy.
Yeah. I think in this episode, too, we got to see how we do make that decision. If our family is going to be a priority or if they're not. With Jack and his dad, Stanley, we got to see, you know what I mean? Him saying that his dad had been dead to him for so long, which is, like, truly unfortunate, because family is the primary, you know what I mean, for most of us.
But I think that's also what cultivated Jack into the man that he is.
Yeah.
Because he wanted so badly to have that.
Exactly.
That he forced himself to become what he was lacking growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a father, too, now that we know that Jack had a brother.
Craziness.
Yeah. That was the bomb that was dropped
on us. Who saw that coming?
Nope.
Nope.
I never even thought about him having siblings.
I swear to God, I don't know why, when he was playing with the worm, I was like, there's somebody in the back seat. I had, like, some weird...
Really? That you had that?
No, I'm being serious. Like,
no,
I had
seriously,
some...
I find that it's fascinating that
because
you instinctively knew that.
Because I was like, why would he just leave one kid in the back, like, in the car by himself? Mm. I don't know why I was like, he's been gone for...
I mean,
I know
that
he would,
time,
but
though.
It just...
Yeah.
It was a vibe I felt, and then immediately when I saw the brother, I don't know why I was like... First remember, I thought the dad probably got in a car. I feel like the reason why he's mad at his father, we're going to find out, has something to do with his brother's death. Not that the father's the reason why he died. Like, if he died in war, which is what we think, maybe they went to war to escape their father.
Mm.
Because You know, like there's some, there's now I'm starting to understand why it's so important for him, for Randall and Kevin to get along. Aside from the fact that they're his sons, but I feel like there's an underlying brotherly.
He's definitely cultivating that relationship. That makes sense.
I just thought he was in the car talking to himself, like he was. He saw his dad was in there drinking. He had probably had experience with his dad drinking before, knowing that he might get mean or whatever, abusive even. And I thought he was just trying to like calm himself and keep himself like he's gonna come back, like it's fine, he'll be fine. That's what I thought.
But
and
you then, know what, to Lena's point, as far as him cultivating that space for brothers, I think now knowing that he has a brother also sheds light to why he was so interested in adopting Randall too, as far as having completing the trio and that brotherhood, like that sibling thing as well. So
I don't know.
But I wanna
I just
go
really
back
enjoyed that.
Really quickly to what you were saying, I think, Candace, about saying, or maybe it was Keith, I can't remember, I'm sorry, about
don't matter.
We'll just give them more credit.
About Stanley being dead to Jack for a while, but even in that moment, he almost wanted to be like, okay, I'll come to see him.
Yeah, he did
his last moments. But he was like, no, I can't put myself back in that position, because if I do, I'm going to get sucked in again, and it's going to be disappointing all over again.
And I understand both sides of the coin. I feel like that would be one of the hardest calls to make. Because to me, I'm so close to my parents. Like, I talk to all of them every single day.
All of them?
Four.
Oh, okay. I'm like, all
of them.
She made it sound like there's like 25 like, of them. You got a lot of time, girl. Guys.
No, I mean, my mom, my stepdad, my dad, and my stepmom, I talk to all of them, you know, almost every single day. So to me, it's like unfathomable to like not
have that.
Like, no, I'm so family is like my thing. So, but at the same time, it's almost, I look back at other relationships that I have had in my life that were toxic, that you almost want to go back and like have that crutch and to be there. And then you're like, no, I'm at this place in my life. I have to do what's best for, I'm adult now, so I have to do what's best for my sons. I can't put myself back in that place. Or even like timeline wise, he had just come off of alcohol the first time round. If we're looking at the timeline of what were like the ages of the boys. So he had just gotten off of his alcoholism and like trying to get through it by himself before he told Rebecca. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking timeline, why would I go back to the man that caused me to X, Y, and Z or trigger it or whatever his relationship is with his father? So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why he could have said no in that moment.
True.
So.
And I think that introduction of character is something that we'll see play out as well. Something we didn't know was coming or expecting. But I'm interested in the relationship with his brother and what happened with the brother. And I really want to know why, you know, he doesn't deal with his father.
And Aaliyah in the chat is saying she wonders if Rebecca knows he had a brother. And we were talking about that a little bit.
I don't think she knows. I feel like she would have for sure made a reference. And then I even was asking you guys, like, what you thought. Like, to you guys, is that... I mean, we're just speculating. Obviously, we don't know yet.
Right.
Is that lying? Like, omitting a part of your life? But then I know people that have gone through, like, traumatic experiences in their life where they legitimately, I don't know what the terminology is, have been able to, like, block it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then as we saw, there was, like, certain triggers. It was, like, the car going off or something, and we could tell he had some, like, traumatic experience to it. But, you know... With in regards to his father, like, I can't go too much into detail. I'm very an open book, but this is not my life. It's one of my parents' life. But one of my parents has a similar relationship with their parent. And it's come up where I have been the one that's saying, God forbid, if, you know, your father were to pass, you should at least go and, you know, not rekindle that relationship. But it was your father.
Closure.
At the end of the day, who you are, whether it's good experiences or bad, is defined by all of those experiences. It's either was a blessing or a lesson. And to me, it hasn't happened to me personally. I have an amazing father, but just knowing firsthand someone that's so close to me that's going through that, I would have hoped that Jack, and maybe he will, like, we don't know it. He hasn't passed yet.
Not that
and
we
I
know
feel
of.
Like,
right. We don't know how it's turned out.
He woke up in the middle of his sleep. Like, maybe it's going to start sinking and he's going to go away. Next episode. I hope so.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, it's like closure. You said, in those situations, you hope for, you know, that resolve. For me personally, like I've went a long time without talking to my dad and that found out or felt like it was stupid. But I had friends who had lost their fathers or who's like, you know, it's important to rectify this. But until you get to that point where you're interested or where you're, you know, willing to be vulnerable or to expose yourself, like there's no way that you can get there until you actually, you know, get there. But I think what's interesting too with Jack and his brother, so I really do hope that Rebecca knows, because I think that's a lie, and I can't imagine being married to somebody who's cut off this part of their life. I don't think that it's a mental block, only because near the end of the episode we saw him go in and look at the picture, so I think that he's still conscious of his brother. Mm-hmm. That's true. It is
and
hidden.
Here's the thing though, if you really I come from a military family as well, so like I know that when it comes down to those type of things that have happened, and when you were in those positions, like there are things that I will never know.
Yeah.
That are things that they need to not revisit, or that they need to have, that needs to be their thing. And I feel like if I did, I don't think it's lying. And this is just me personally. This is coming from me. Mm. I think if my husband and that person that I chose to spend the rest of my life with, if that's something that is that important to him to keep to himself, and it doesn't come between my relationship with him.
But I don't see how it cannot.
I don't feel
that you have to explore it or like go through your history or rah rah rah. But that's family history. You have two. I have a brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you traumatically lost your brother, and that's something that you don't want to, like, you want to close that door.
But you don't want to. You only want to close it enough to where you don't revisit. Because in your private time, you still have this relationship. You have memories. I feel like the least you can do. And I don't think it's a lot to expect of somebody to be honest about, oh, I do have a brother, I don't talk about it, that's it. But to just, if she just wakes up, or how does she find out that he has a brother after all this time?
I think that's terrible if that's she doesn't crazy. Know. And I can understand if he doesn't want to talk about it. But that's a key part of your life. Obviously, from what they at least made it seem like, they have like a strong bond. They're like together in the military. He's like smiling at him.
It shaped how he raises his children.
To just leave that out. Listen, I don't want to judge. I hate, because I know everyone's like, it's so easy to say you're not in those shoes, but like my brother, you're annoying if you're watching. He told me today he doesn't think I'm funny, but my brother, I love him. Like, to not have him be a part of my life, and to just, if I were right now to get married, it's literally how it is, and just not talk about him, I feel like he's part of the reason I am who I am. My sisters are part of the reason who I am. Mm-hmm. My parents. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like talking and explaining yourself.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a case-by-case basis. If there's a reason why he's deciding not to share that with me, then I have to respect that as well. And I mean, if it's someone I'm with for the rest of my life, I'm sure somehow it will end up coming up. But, you know, who's to say?
Don't marry
regardless,
me.
Regardless.
I don't mean no harm. Do not marry me until you're ready to tell me everything.
Regardless, let's move on, because I feel like we could be stuck on this moment and this conversation for a minute.
Watch they talk about it next episode, and we just spent 5 minutes arguing a topic when in reality, you missed your brother,
Jack. She already knows.
Yeah.
But speaking of the relationships, though, of brothers, Kevin and Randall, I broke my heart for Candace.
You guys are calling yourself.
God, it has been a long day.
We don't know who we are anymore.
We don't know. I've lost it. Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
She's talking about herself. I am.
You know, it is. It's a thing. But Kevin and him finding Randall's little notebook.
I thought that was that so
actor,
cute.
That little actor. Young actor.
Parker? She loves him.
No.
Yeah.
In this episode?
No.
Little Randall.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Kevin.
See, Kevin in this episode, he made me a little, Lil Kevin, made me a little mad, because I was like, man, why are you being so mean to your brother? But, like, he did a good job, because he got me there, like, feelings-wise. But I was just like, man, if you don't straighten up, and like, I almost became a parent in that moment. I was like, little boy, if you don't get it, yes.
And see, Jack is a parent, though.
Yeah, he's good. Mm. I loved when he, like, yanked him up and was like, you're going to put this tent back together and you're going
to
sit in there.
You guys have to understand, though, little Kevin, and I think I was saying this to Candace, even as an adult, there's times where I feel like my mom, love you, mom, but you, she clearly, like, I could tell one of my sisters is, like, her favorite. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I want to say, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm a grown woman, and I still, there's a part of me goes back in time remembering being that little girl and, like, having these, my sisters were so much older and so beautiful and so gorgeous. I remember just looking at them, like, am I ever going to be them? And then seeing how my mom feels about them. So I'm not saying it's excusable, little Kevin's behavior, but he's a kid, and he sees that this other kid is getting so much more attention. And I think the fact that little Randall's so nice to him, I think it drives him nuts even more, because he's like, why are you so nice? That's, like, I want to hate you more, but, like, then you're nice to me. And little book, that honestly broke my heart.
Oh, yeah, that.
No, don't touch Kevin's.
Don't touch his Game Boy.
You're, don't annoy Kevin.
If he thinks you're annoying, talk about Karate Kid. Like, that's just, that's terrible.
No, I thought it was so, what I really enjoyed was Kevin's response to finding the notebook. I feel like he did go out and he made, you know what I mean, the effort.
But at the same time, are they really that close now if we look at the relationship with grown-up Kevin and Randall? I think
there's an underlining closeness. It's not something that you'll get on the surface, but like I was saying about, like, the brother quality, like me and my brother, like, it's not something that you would necessarily automatically resonate with, but I think that it's there. And to speak with, like, the topic of favorites, because every parent tries to say that they don't have a favorite, but I was telling you guys earlier, I was on Facebook and I saw, like, yesterday was my dad's birthday and my brother had a picture with him. And, you know, part of me just wanted to be, like, a little boy and jealous, like, ah, you know, I want to post a picture with my dad. Mm-hmm. And why does he get to? But so I get where he's coming from, but I like that his response to it was, oh, wow, okay, let me make an effort, whether I want to or not. But how can you deny that notebook?
Yeah, I think in that moment he realized, he was like, maybe I am being a little mean.
Like,
maybe
I'm doing too much.
I think he felt the love in that notebook from Randall that he's missing from his parents. I feel like with Kevin, it's just always been, like, a lack of love. But it's funny. I think the older, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Randall kind of, like, is a snippety one with Kevin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And with Kevin, listen, he's as much at the surface with Randall as we're going to get from Kevin. Kevin is just Kevin, but he genuinely, like, dude, he makes such an effort with Randall's kids. Like, to me, if my siblings loved my kids the way he makes an effort with his kids, that's so beautiful. That, like, speaks for itself in so many ways. I feel like maybe Randall has, like, not resentment, but, like, there's now a part of him that I kind of see. He's not the old Randall, where Kevin is definitely taking a couple steps forward.
I think he's just
it's a, like, a 36-year wall. Like, you know, you build that up after a while so you don't get hurt. I think that's what it is. Like,
he's constantly put himself
out there with his brother, and then he's built this wall up so that anything that Kevin does doesn't knock him down.
And, I mean, he's still showing that moving forward, like, with Deja, too. He's trying so hard, and even their conversation outside the bathroom, where he was like, you just love too hard, man. Like, you care too much.
You care too much.
Which can be a quality. I think it's a good thing.
It's a good quality. At the same time, you're more susceptible to being hurt, having anxiety attacks, having panic attacks, because you can't control outside forces coming in. I deal with this a lot. Can you tell?
But Randall,
I'm caring about too much of what other people like want and their needs, where you can't control outside forces. Mm-hmm. How they react to me, I can't control.
Exactly.
I can only control what I do. And I think he tries. I think that's what makes Randall such a good father, though, too, is that where he has it, he's an amazing father. Where he can't put the attentiveness on all of his friends and everyone else, he's like, but I can do this to my kids, and it's okay to do this to my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like Kevin is such a good uncle. Like, I really feel maybe old Kevin, you know, he's still, even with Sophie, he, like, lies to Sophie. I noticed there's, like, a disconnect with Kevin, and I love the fact that, like, we're now finally, remember we always kept saying, like, every episode, like, when are we going to peel the layer back with Kevin?
Exactly.
When are we getting it? We're seeing it. He's so much like his father, but dude, he's a good uncle.
Yeah.
Like, remember Randall's like, thanks for keeping my daughters up. He's like, what? Like, you know, he has.
Right. I only see them once a week.
And he was so nice to Deja. Like, here comes this brand new chick into the story, and he's like so nice to her. And okay, he said, don't talk about her hair. And he did. But
I know, I thought it was so cute too, though.
I love how we got away with it. He's like, you looking a little Halle Berry-ish. Yeah. And she was like,
oh,
but
that
Manny.
Shows too the difference between Randall's character and Kevin's, because whereas Randall knows, like, we had this experience with the hair, I don't want to bring
don't
it up
anything.
But Kevin knew, you know what I mean, for me to say it, it's going to be super charismatic, and it's just you, Randall, and the way that you love, I think. But I do want to ask, with the whole Kevin situation, for me, I felt that I know we all wanted to see the story develop as far as him dealing with drug abuse and the pill popping, but I just felt like it moved like super duper fast, and it was just like 0 to 60 for me, where he was just re-upping on a bike and then he's taking all these drinks, and I was just like, oh, we're just gonna flesh this out tonight.
Well, I mean, if you don't have your Vicodin, you're in pain. What else are you gonna do to numb it?
Is he in pain?
But he knew not to take it. I think he's an addict and he knows it because he didn't want to take it at first, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At first he's like, no meds. Right. And then he started having flashbacks of his dad. And then he was like,
he needs something to numb it.
Yeah.
And I read something earlier this week or late last week where it was somebody was suggesting that potentially the last time Kevin had his knee injury, he experienced this before.
Okay.
So if he's already gone through this, it'll take nothing for you to
get back into it.
He's definitely a prior addict, which might make sense what happened with, like, other experiences in his life.
Yeah. And also at the same time, there are personal, and I'm not, again, disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. I don't really know.
We're not, nobody here's a therapist.
No one's a therapist. But there are people that do have more of a tendency to have an addictive personality.
Yes.
Regardless of whether it's alcohol, pills, food, anything, there are people that have a very specific addictive personality that will just inherently, if they start doing something, they don't. Like, I'm the same way. I have certain things and vices that I specifically stay away from. Like, I know if I do it, I will fall into the trap of it. Mm-hmm. So let's just not at all and cut it off like a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But he knew that starting off.
So to answer your question, Keith, I don't think it was too fast.
Okay.
I think it's just something that we haven't seen yet that... It started probably with him saying, okay, I'll take one, and then being like, okay, that doesn't fix my knee so much. Let me take two. Oh, shoot. Now I need to take three. Mm-hmm. And it just escalated from there. And he had been through two refills already, or one refill at that point?
No, two.
What he was calling?
Yeah. He said it was one over the one they already filled.
Right.
And then he's like, take my picture down. It's not a diner.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. Like, he's might be in withdrawal kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And so he's like lashing out.
Like crazy. He needs it.
Because especially if you're having that type of surgery, your Vicodin level is probably super high.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like the little stuff you get when you go to the dentist. I'm talking like high levels of stuff when you've had that big of a surgery. Like, those things can knock you out.
And I was asking this while we were watching. Isn't Sophie a nurse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is.
So
she could get him a prescription, probably.
I can understand why he wouldn't go to her, but you would think that she could maybe see something happening with him. Like, she's thinking it's just the alcohol.
She wasn't around. Remember, she just saw him for...
The first time.
Remember, he's like, I shouldn't have flown in.
But doesn't she know he has a prescription? Maybe they haven't talked about that.
No, they were just on the phone, so she hasn't seen, like, the signs of him. But, dude, okay, so speaking of Sophie, that girl has some patience because, and the fact that he was trying to do that whole, like, nagging, or he didn't say that, but it was kind of the way he was acting is like, oh, you're always, like, giving me shit. He just didn't show up to her auction, and she's like, poor girl, she's like, you embarrassed me in front of all, like, my coworkers. I feel like they have, like, a weird... Because if you look at every other relationship, we have Jack and Rebecca, and then Beth and Randall, and then even now Kate and Toby, like after today's episode, like, they've stepped it up for me in terms of, like, those relationships.
Yeah.
And then you have Kevin and Sophie, and I don't think it's Sophie. I think it's Kevin. I feel like they can't get to that level that all these other couples are because Kevin, I mean, he keeps stuff from her, obviously. They barely see each other. She was being so understanding when she was talking to him. She was just like, hey, like, she didn't go run out there looking for him. She didn't yell. She was like, hey, you know, you kind of, like, that lady over there just bought you kind of just embarrassed me in front of all my coworkers.
I think that's based off of what she knows as well. Because I think we may see a different side of her when we address, like, the prescriptions and all of that. I think that'll bring out,
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, is this indicative? I know Kevin before, like, cheated or something. But was this also part of it? Was him using prescription pills?
Oh, part of their whole experience.
Yeah, was it part of their breakup? And maybe she just doesn't know that. So if and when this comes out, she's just going to be like, what the heck is going on?
She was also there whenever Jack died. We do know that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he was with her. So, I mean, could he have also put blame on her? And that's maybe been the strain of their relationship as well because he was with her when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always been that layer of, like, him having resentment, so he's, like, trying to just love on her and doesn't know how to because she's the reason why. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm just speculating.
I know, Kate's, I know Kate's in her own world. We'll talk about her next. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. But
yes, she does.
Wouldn't she, because she's so close to Kevin, know what's going on? Or she's... Because even when he came home right from the hospital, Kate was gone. She's like, I'm going to the gym. Mm-hmm. Remember, and Toby was like, aren't you going to stay home? So where is Kate in all this?
I think
Kate,
he hides it well, though. He hid it from Randall as well.
Mm-hmm. You think even from Kate? I feel like he doesn't hide anything from Kate.
I think he does only because, well, I think he's hiding it. And also, she's not really checking in with him because she's focused on this pregnancy. Like, she has a full life ahead of her. And too many things to worry about. We didn't really... they didn't interact this episode.
Well, no, because they're on opposite sides of the country.
Right, yeah. right. True. So I think that also is a factor in the reason. I think that surely if she had a conversation with him, if they saw each other, then she would pick up on it. We would see, like, that twinship. But I think because they are in two separate worlds and she got this baby business, I don't think she has a lot of time to play with Kevin.
Even to piggyback on that, Keith, Randall did a mini check-in. He was like, you okay?
Yeah,
he did. Like, that was something, because he could tell
something was off
about Kevin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that opened the door that it's going to be more and more where Randall's going to start to pay attention and notice maybe Kevin's sleeping later or, you know, something, or he sounds different on the phone, or even, oh, the medicine cabinet looks in a disarray because Kevin went rummaging through it. Like, I think it's going to be things that are going to add up.
That would make sense, too, because why would they set us up with the camping trip and then becoming closer and seeing their relationship develop and then be like, okay, we're going to give you one episode of them being brothers and then let
And we're going to have Kate be the one to figure out that something's wrong with Kevin. I think it's going to build.
If you remember what he was saying in front of the bathroom, he's like, you're going to go in there. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know you're going to go in there. He's like, right. And he said, because you've always been that way, you've always cared too much. And he kind of said some weird, like, cryptic, like, it's better not to care. Yeah, so when you say something like that, or like, it's better, like, or I don't care at all, like, that to me sounds like a cry for help. Like, if that was my sibling saying something like that,
I'd be like,
I'd be like, okay, so,
right.
Which would explain why he's using drugs, because he doesn't want to feel.
Yeah. At all.
Poor Kevin.
Me or anything else.
I feel so bad for him because we were all waiting for something to happen to him.
Yeah, but it went
to get some layers. We willed all this bad energy towards Kevin.
Right.
Kevin, please have an addiction. And that's so sad. We're terrible human beings over here.
Because we just want really juicy shows.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we're all rooting for Kate and Toby. I was so glad we got to see Kate and Toby back together. Mm-hmm. We got to see a lot of Toby, that fun, that energy, like, in the restaurant, like, going crazy. I thought that was so cute.
But I did find it interesting that Kate had the same concerns that we had last week about the baby.
We called it, right?
We did.
So I was super pleased, and we'll get to see that.
I wasn't here, so I'll clap for you guys.
Yay!
But the fact, can we, as, like, people, can we petition?
Are we people?
Yes. Can we petition for them to stop calling it a geriatric pregnancy?
I was about to say the same
thing. Like, that is rude.
Especially on top of it, the fact that we are, as a society, having children later in life. And that is because there's a lot of stuff happening in our lives that we're not always all ready to have. Not always all ready to have babies early.
True, but to
not
be
that
fair,
there's a bad thing.
She's the one who called it that.
That's the name
that's
of it.
The
that's
name
what
of
it's
that's
called.
Actually,
no, I know that's the name of it, but she introduced it, right? She was like, I'm having this type of pregnancy.
She literally said, that's what they call it. They call it that. Like, why are they calling it that?
Yeah, it's a pregnancy.
Okay.
With risks.
A
or
lot
something.
Of it.
Like,
I understand her point. I think she's saying, like, let's not put all these labels and, like, put negative.
Well, geriatric means old. Geriatric,
and technically, after 35,
like,
it's 60, considered older.
70, that's, like, geriatric age. Yes. Why are you giving that to a 37-year-old person?
I think it's a combination of her, like, current, like, health condition as well. Like, maybe there's more to her health condition that we don't know. Like, maybe she has...
No, geriatric pregnancy does legitimately mean at a later stage in life. So after 35, I believe it's 35 or 36, it is considered geriatric.
Really?
Yes.
At 36?
Yes, because you have a higher risk of having birth defects, problems with your pregnancy, not going through miscarriage, anything, any range of things. That's why it's also very high risk for women over the age of 40 to have babies.
Right.
And it's very hard for them. They have to have higher levels of, like, vitamins and watching their everything. Everything. Because if not, it could be damaging to the baby and to the woman.
Yeah, I'm literally just talking about the name.
It's the name. Like, yeah. But literally, like, just I keep saying that it's called that.
I got you. But I think that whatever it would be, I think that her natural response is to present the negative. I think that we saw her present it and she was like, you're not allowed to say this until the baby's out of my body.
I was so glad that
she shifted, because I was like, really? Like, come on. You have
to leave with that?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, she said,
I'm pregnant and you can't talk about it until I have your child.
First of all, I was so shocked with how happy he was, because at first, you see my face, he was like, you're what? She goes, keep your hopes and your dreams of being a dad to yourself. And he was like, okay. And I get her point, just because maybe in her life, she feels like she just attracted so much negativity. Yeah. So this is one thing she wants to keep to herself.
Yeah.
But that was so sad. It's like, it's also his kid too. He partook in the whole, process. It's also his child. She's like, you better keep your hopes and dreams to yourself. But I was glad they ended off on the note. And someone said something in the chat, which I really do agree, that I feel like because they made such a big ordeal where he went in the restaurant and played the song, they're foreshadowing that it's actually something bad is going to happen, which... Yeah. Please don't do that. Please just give Katie a bone.
That's
give
what Kate we were all talking about.
Yeah. I'm glad at least that they gave us the expectation, because she was very forthright. It may not happen. Mm-hmm. I want it to happen, but I'm older. I'm this. I'm that. So I'm glad at least they're setting us up for who knows. But I don't know. Now that she's getting excited about it, we're having this moment. We got the big song.
Give it
I'm
two
like,
more episodes.
I'm rooting for it.
This after show has power, because we wanted bad shit. Not we didn't want to, but we wanted to see more stuff about Kevin. So let's take back the last 2 minutes, and we're gonna will. She's gonna have a healthy pregnancy. She's gonna be an incredible
last week,
mother.
We were indifferent to what we wanted.
Yeah,
right?
We kind of kept
we halfway
it.
Halfway wanted it, and then we halfway were like, well, maybe it'll be better to have it. Candace, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I think you are very much so.
I was in leading that realm. You can throw me under the bus.
But I will,
because I automatically assume the worst.
Right.
It's fine.
But I will say something, though, and not just because I know you don't like the terminology geriatric, but I even know women myself.
I don't.
She's like, the fact that you even repeated it, she's about to kill me.
For those listening on the podcast, I just shook my head. I don't like it.
So, okay, so let's just use that terminology aside. I know women that are younger that aren't in that situation, and they still miscarry on their first kid.
For sure.
So it is common. That's kind of why I know a lot of people, you know, like someone was saying in the chat, that they usually wait till their first trimester to tell people, because
exactly. After 6 weeks?
Yeah.
12?
I think it's like almost 3 months. Yes. Yeah.
Before you
so
tell
she's
anyone.
Early in the game. So it could possibly, if she does miscarry, have nothing to do with that thing.
Thank you.
That she doesn't like. The bunny
the
ears.
The G word.
There
right.
you go.
The G that word. That one.
But, you know, if God forbid, you know, I know it's a TV show, but we're going to say God forbid it does happen, maybe it'll now make them plan for it, and she will get in, like, a better place in her life. It will bring her and her mother closer, because her mom did lose a child. Yep. So I can see where they might connect it like that. Like, she lost a child, she lost a child.
Point, right? You are literally supporting my point, saying that they have more of a storyline and more of things to talk about and to really reach out to people if they go that route, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to see baby.
But I do
wanna, I love baby.
I do want to talk, I do want to highlight the 2 points of Toby. We talked about it a little bit, one in the restaurant. But when Kate came into his office and he just like pushed everything.
Yes,
I have never, like, I don't know if that happens in real life. But I feel like now it's possible because they did it on this show, because there's a little bit of reality.
Pushing all this stuff off.
Yeah, like, because I'm like, that would just cause such a mess, and it's loud. Like, y'all, people know what you're going to do, and all of a sudden they just hear all this stuff crashing off.
Toby was like, I seen it on TV. You want to talk in my office? Let me clear the way.
Oh, okay.
He was like, this is cute.
Tell me.
This is happening.
Yeah.
Tell me that these couples, except for Kevin and Sophie, sorry, they're excluded from this, but Beth and Randall, Jack and Rebecca, oh my God.
Yes.
And then, who am I missing?
Toby.
Now Toby and Kate.
Yeah.
They are hashtag couple goals.
Yes.
I cannot tell you.
For sure.
That is why I got emotional, because, like, these relationships are so beautiful, and I feel like in life, we're constantly blinded by different shiny, fancy things, or social media has made so many different, like, non-interesting things accessible, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But just to see true, raw love. That kind of happiness. The relationships are nowhere near perfect. Jack and Rebecca are not perfect. So when I mean couple goals, it doesn't mean this unicorn fairy tale bullshit relationship mentality. It is that they have been through pretty much hell. They've lost a child. He has alcohol. Like, he's an alcoholic. She has her own problems. She has a problem with her mother. He has this problem with her father. Like, the way they understand each other, Beth and Randall are just... the way they communicate is it's everybody unspoken. And then Toby's just the baddest. He's so funny. He's just a man that can make you laugh is just incredible. Yeah. They are all couple goals in their weird, different ways.
Quirky, and which, independent, yeah.
You were talking about communication. Just the fact that when they were in the kitchen, Beth and Randall, Beth goes behind Randall and like pushes him a little bit to be like, I need to talk to you.
Right.
That was shorthand. Exactly. And he just goes, oh, and he's like, okay, let's go talk.
Here I come.
Like that. Because they've been together, they know each other so well, you know, they've developed that shorthand.
I think the biggest thing that makes them couple goals is that they are, like, these all actualized, three-dimensional people characters that show. It is beyond a millennial or social media that you can have your mess, I can have my mess, and we still can come together and have a healthy, successful relationship.
Every single one of them. Okay.
There's hope for us.
We're going to go down. We're going to start with Candace. You have to pick one of the three, your favorite couple out of the three we just talked about, and one reason why they're your favorite couple.
Randall, Beth. Hands down. Always. Okay. Always. Reason? Because they just, you can see their love. Like, you can see when he moves, she moves. And kudos to the actors for doing that, because I feel like that's when I see, like, when I see those couples out there that I know they truly love each other, is that they don't have to be holding hands. Mm-hmm. They don't have to even be in the same vicinity. But when he moves, she moves. When they need to communicate, they communicate. And it doesn't even have to be, like, point blank, this is da-da-da-da. Like, even if you remember when they were on the lot and she said, I love you, but I can't handle you right now. Mm-hmm. Walk away. That right there, to me, is like... I feel you. We're here. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
And then
mad.
She jumped on him.
Exactly. Like, it's part. Just everything. It all makes sense to me. I agree. She loves him for his quirks. She did not like fall head over heels in love with this like quirky man right off the bat.
Keith, your turn.
I'm following suit, Randall and Beth, because they have that communication factor. It's not always one person's way, but it works. We communicate well, we communicate effectively, and we still got some romance. And
okay, I'm gonna go last. That? I want to hear yours.
I'm joining the group. I'm Beth and Randall.
Yeah!
Because I think they balance each other.
Yes. Exactly.
Because where Randall can be eccentric, Beth is cool. Mm. Where Beth, you know, can maybe get hype a little bit, Randall will be the one to balance her out in that moment. Mm-hmm. So I think when one needs something, the other has it.
Exactly.
I think they're complementary of each other.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys know how I feel about Beth and Randall. There's no question about that. I talk about it all the time. But for me, I'm all about the backstory. I'm that person that wants to know the backstory. I have to give it to Jack and Rebecca by like a 0.001 only because look at who Randall had to look up to as an example, his father, where Jack's example is horrible as a father, as a husband, as everything. So for me, knowing that history, knowing likely how much harder it is for Jack and how many obstacles he's had to come across. And don't get me wrong, I know Randall has plenty of obstacles. Yes, he has loving parents. At the end of the day, he has his own insecurities about being adopted, things like that. But I give 0.0001 to Jack and Rebecca only because of Jack's history and how he was raised and how much he has had the worst example and is such a man. Like, as a father, as a husband, hopefully we're about to see as a brother. I have a feeling he was like the father figure to his brother.
Yeah.
So for right now, I have 0.0000001%.
Well, there's your quick prediction. So does anyone else have quick predictions before we wrap this up?
Not quick predictions, but I feel...
TV predictions.
Oh. Hey.
Hey.
Not, wait a minute. But I wanted to get to, because we didn't talk about Randall and Deja having that moment.
Yes.
Where they
that
breakthrough.
That's more important.
And I wanted to talk about the significance of him trying to protect her, but at the same time... scaring her when he smacked her hand with the shrimp.
Yeah, we did.
Because he literally went father at that moment. It was like, no, no, no. Like, it was like, you know how when you're a toddler or whatever, and you try to touch a stove and your parent comes and smacks your hand or whatever. He did that, but he was doing it out of love. He was doing it out of concern. He was doing it as a father.
It's a bit much, though.
But for Deja, it was like she instantly went back to being. Yeah. And kudos to the writers. I don't know who they're talking to, but when it comes to abuse, I would have never... thought about a magazine
not leaving bruises.
Yeah, like that
So, no, I think that was awesome, too. And I think it was great that we got to see Deja open up and tell a bit of her story.
And mm-hmm. I think that boundary of that door
yep.
is what saved her.
It gave her mm-hmm. enough space.
It gave her, like, her solitude to say what she had to say, but she wasn't really saying it to anyone, quote, unquote. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of, like, helped her.
And kudos to Randall for being quiet.
And listening.
And not pushing. Pushing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was pushing it. I will tell you something. Smacking the hand for a shrimp, like, she wasn't putting her hand in a...
I missed that part. What did he do? Can you show me what he did?
Okay.
I
didn't see it. You know how on cocktail shrimp, it's the exposed part and then it's the shell. Uh-huh. She went to eat it, and I guess she had never eaten it before, so she liked it, and she went to put the shell in her mouth.
And he, like...
And he just... smacked her hand away.
Just like that?
Don't eat the shell.
But he did it, I guess, in a way, for him, it was probably
natural
protection. Right. But for her, it was like,
oh my God, you're gonna trouble.
So I'll tell you what it was for him. I don't know why, well, I didn't see like the whole smack effect. Remember, I had to like ask, I was like, did he just smack her mm-hmm. hand? I see Rebecca and Randall. I feel like Rebecca suffocated Randall. Like, are you okay? Are you like this? Are you good? Are you like this? So that's why he only knows how to be like that with his kids. That's why he's overly nurturing, I think, especially to her. Because I feel like I see glimpses of how Rebecca was with Randall. Mm-hmm. Like, if you notice, she's always like, Randall.
I don't know. I think Randall. He appreciated that.
No, I'm not saying it like a bad thing. I'm saying I don't think it's Randall's fault. I'm actually justifying his shrimp episode. Like, it wasn't that
good
serious.
Good point, Lena.
Exactly.
Good point, Lena. Melanie says.
No, I'm really trying to back Randall up. I don't think he knows any better. He just was used to, like, his mom being like that to him.
No, for sure. That's what they said. Good point.
That's what they said.
They agree with
they're
you.
They're agreeing.
Maybe they just feel sorry for me, so they're just agreeing with me.
No, just accept the compliment. Accept it. Accept it. Take it. Guys, we don't really have time for predictions, but I am really excited that we're having a Halloween episode next week.
Oh, God.
And we're doing a throwback to New Year's. So we get to see Randall have first baby and his panic attacks.
Yes.
Which I'm excited to see and find out a little bit more about the other brothers. Mm-hmm. We will figure out our scheduling because it is Halloween, guys. So I believe that... Accept it, Lena.
Yeah.
Accept it, Lena.
I love Aaliyah. She was asking where I was last week, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching you guys. I was trying to comment. It wouldn't let me comment.
Oh.
I was in bed watching.
Are you signed in?
Yeah, I was signed in.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't like me.
Let us comment.
Well, we all love you, Lena. We do.
I love you guys, too.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. And we're excited for next week to throw back and have a Halloween episode. We should wear costumes.
Oh, my gosh. I've been trying to figure out a Halloween costume. I don't know what to do.
We'll figure out something.
Okay.
We'll figure out Halloween costumes. Again, thanks, guys, for joining in. My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Yes, I'm Keith Andre. Follow me everywhere at Keith_Andre. And catch me tomorrow night on AfterBuzz at 7 p.m. for 90 Day Fiancé.
Woohoo! What? 90 Day, what does that mean?
90 Day Fiancé. It's a show.
It's a show.
TLC, 90 Day Fiancé.
Like, you break up with them in 90 days?
Oh, God.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. I'm Lena, the one that doesn't know how to sign into YouTube and go on the chat or doesn't know what 90 Day Fiancé is. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Noy.
And thank you, everybody that was in the chat with us. Thank you, everybody that's watched. Thank you, everybody that's listening. And we'll see you next week.
Later. Yeah, I love it. All the thanks for a great show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.